decide if former President Trump can be prosecuted for alleged attempts to overturn the 2020 election, a request from special counsel Jack Smith. The case now goes to an appeals court and may still end up before the Supreme Court. Smith's office declined to comment. President Biden has pardoned thousands of people convicted on marijuana-related charges.
The pardons apply to those convicted of using or possessing marijuana on federal lands and in Washington, D.C. In addition, the president granted pardons to 11 people serving what he called disproportionately long sentences for nonviolent drug offenses. The Congressional Black Caucus is praising the president's action, calling it a step toward ending what it called longstanding racial disparities in sentencing. The president's order does not apply to those convicted of state charges. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
The UN Security Council passed a watered-down resolution that calls for increased aid to Gaza, but not a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Linda Thomas-Greenfield.
Today, this council provided a glimmer of hope amongst a sea of unimaginable suffering.
It's a big travel day for millions, and the weather is affecting conditions in some areas. CBS's Chris Van Cleve breaks it down from LAX.
With the torrential rain starting to move out of the LA area, we're now watching San Diego and Phoenix for potential weather disruptions. And then Denver may see snow. That could also create some delays. But overall, the airlines are cautiously optimistic. This is a storm that may cause some spot delays, but not be a situation where it becomes a Grinch that steals people's Christmas. Probably not going to be a big driver of cancellations, which is good news for flyers.
Tesla is recalling 120,000 vehicles because their doors may not offer enough protection in a crash. WWJ auto reporter Jeff Gilbert has more from Detroit.
2021 through 23 Model S's and Model X's are out of compliance with safety standards that control door security in a crash. The recall and over-the-air update will help keep the doors locked during a collision. 120,000 Teslas are affected.
Prices fell last month for the first time since 2020. CBS business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
The core PCE index rose at an annualized pace of 3.2%. This is moving in the right direction. The Federal Reserve hopes that this core index gets down to a 2% annualized pace.
This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Dash into JCPenney for last-minute holiday savings. Finish your list with a little extra sparkle. Jewelry is up to 70% off after coupon. Looking for something cozy? Candles, velvet plush throws, and more start at only $7.99. Score thousands of doorbusters on popular brands like Adidas, Champion, Disney, and Carter's. Enjoy fast and free same-day pickup until 3 p.m. Christmas Eve. Ready in less than 2 hours. JCPenney, make your holidays count. Offers valid on select styles through 12/24. Exclusions apply. Doorbusters excluded from coupon. See store or jcp.com for details.
Nissan has a car for everyone, for every driver who wants more.
Like more adventure when you're driving on or off-road, more zip when you're driving around town, and more turbocharged excitement for a rush of adrenaline.
At Nissan, more is all they do. From thrilling sports cars to exciting EVs to capable pickups and agile sedans, Nissan's diverse lineup can help anyone find something for their more.
Find your more at NissanUSA.com. That's NissanUSA.com.
The more than 27,000 union carpenters who call the North Central States home wish you a healthy, happy, and safe holiday season. Unions built the middle class, and union carpenters work hard every day to build our communities while they build good careers that provide for their families. This season, we hope you get to enjoy time with friends and family. Happy holidays from Executive Secretary Treasurer Pat Nelson and the staff of the North Central States Regional Council of Carpenters.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Are you sure you know the signs of a heart attack? Now is the time to make sure. Here's Brittany Merlot with why.
December is the deadliest month of the year for heart attack victims. In fact, the numbers drastically rise during the holidays from 25% the rest of the year to a whopping 40%. And research unwrapped that December 25th, on Christmas Day, is statistically the worst day of the year for heart attack deaths. And the day of the week the majority of heart attacks fall on is a Monday. Experts say to look for signs, as heart attack symptoms can mimic indigestion, with chest pain, shortness of breath, and nausea. So stay active, manage stress, watch what you eat, and don't leave your heart medication behind.
Wisconsin Rapids School Board member Larry Davis has filed a notification of non-candidacy. The two other incumbents, John Benbow and Katie Bielski-Medina, will run again for their seats. There are three open seats for the spring election. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Hello, this is Pamela Hilke, the traffic director here at WFHR, and I'd like to wish you a very Merry Christmas.
The Jell-O program starring Jack Benny.
The Johnson Wax program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft Music Hall with Bing Crosby and his distinguished guests for this Christmas Eve.
Be our guests for the WFHR tradition of 30 hours of Christmas. Starting at noon on Christmas Eve, enjoy 30 hours of old-time radio, classic Christmas music, and special broadcasts of the Sunshine Polka Show, Seth Faces the Music, and Director's Cut. Exclusively on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM, it's a Merry Christmas from all of us at WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead.
Oofta, a damp and dreary day. Battling chances of drizzle on and off today. And also areas of fog. Otherwise, it's overcast with high temperatures climbing to the low 40s. And we won't be out of this misty cloud until Saturday afternoon. Right now, 42.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this December 22nd, 2023. Have your host, James J. Maliff, here. Thanks so much for joining us. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in Craig Broren, superintendent of Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools. He's got Ron Rasmussen and maybe some other Lincoln High School members with us. We're looking forward to talking with them. Right now, in studio, we have our good friend, Kim Inda, resource specialist with the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin. Kim, good to see you.
Yeah, you too. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you and yours. It is great to have you guys here, not only be able to talk a little ADRC with you all and update people about your schedule and some other things, your holiday hours, but really, I think of our last guests of the holiday week here being you guys in Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools. Perfect guests. Shout out Pam Hilke. Nice work, Pam. Nice work. Kim, how are things over at the ADRC?
Oh, we're doing good.
Good.
Yeah. Every day we're just plugging away with taking phone calls and visiting with our community members to teach them more about the resources that are out there. So,
and we know how vital that is in our community, how much of our population has benefited from the ADRC. And keeping that in mind, I would like to start with our holiday hours, if you don't mind. Well, how are the hours over at ADRC for the holidays?
Yeah, so just for the holidays, because again, everybody runs a little different when the holidays are on the weekend. We are closed December 25th and 26th. And then also January 1st and 2nd. Mm-hmm. So we'll be available in between for a couple days, and then we'll be kicking it right back on the 3rd. So.
Sounds good. We know how valuable the resources, the information that the ADRC is. If any of the clients there, anybody needs assistance or needs things, is there resources for them? Are there places for them to go?
Yeah, so part of my job as a resource specialist is just to be out there in the community, available to let people know about what the resources are there. We have people that call us on the phone Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30, just to get information and questions answered regarding transportation options that people may need help with if they're not driving anymore or if they have an illness and can't get to medical appointments. We also have people that call regarding in-home care, whether it be helping with cleaning or laundry, helping with personal hygiene, maybe some fixing up around the house, those sorts of things. Those are common questions that we get from our callers. Sometimes people need a little bit more. They want that face-to-face interaction. So we also do take walk-ins or people that want to schedule an appointment individually with us. And we can do that either in the home or in the office. So we are very flexible with respect to getting out our resources and services to the community to help people.
You touched on this a little bit, Kim. Let's go through some of those frequent calls you receive and kind of answer some of those maybe for people.
Sure.
So local resources on transportation options, you touched on that?
Yeah, so there's different opportunities for that depending upon what you're needing, whether it be local transportation or if you're needing medical appointments out of town. So Wood County Human Services has a transportation program where they will have volunteer drivers as well as a bus that can take you back and forth. We also have a great local cab company that is switching hands, but will be available for us to help within the community to get people from one destination to another.
So, and those are things that are right there and available and good to know. I really do appreciate you spreading the word about that. What about other questions like how they can get get information on people to come into the home related to caregiving?
Yeah, so there are, again, we have a handful of caregiving, in-home caregiving options from, like I said earlier, either helping with cooking, laundry, cleaning, bathing, those sorts of things. It's a matter of identifying what type of help you're looking for, how often you want them to come in, and then can I afford it? And so that's where, again, we can have that more in-depth conversation with people to kind of lay out step by step. Okay, yeah, you might need cleaning help, but how often? Mm-hmm. Or have you considered also thinking as they come in, throwing in a load of laundry, if that's an issue for you as well? So we can kind of problem solve and triage and get that game plan, so to speak, so that when you call the agencies, you can identify, okay, this is what I need, this is how often I need them, and then they can give you a good, accurate information on the cost to make that decision if you want to can afford it or not. Mm-hmm. Home care cost is not cheap. It's about $25 an hour is the rough estimate that we tell people when they contact us. Again, that can vary based upon how often you need the help. But that adds up over time.
Yeah.
And so you really got to be mindful or planful with respect to your resources as to how often you have them come in and get your bang for your buck, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. And Kim, with something like this too, what a caregiver is for one family is going to be completely different than another. This is a very fingerprint kind of thing. It's an individual thing that we've got to find the right fit for the right person and in the right schedule and a lot of that. And some people have more needs than others. So it really is great to go to somebody, especially if you've never been in a situation like this and you don't have a family member who is helping with this or something, reach out to the ADRC. They've got all that information. They know their stuff. And we've unfortunately seen where at times when individuals kind of try to take this on themselves, oftentimes there are things that are missed or things they just don't know because it's not common knowledge possible, you know, more than likely. And and I'm sure that you guys, and we've talked about this before with other members of the ADRC, that, you know, you hit this certain age and you have these benefits, these certain things that apply. But it's kind of, as far as the rest, you're almost on your own. You know, it's almost a great wide open and the great wilderness and everything. And the ADRC is going to guide you, going to be able to help you. They are your guide with this. When it comes to caregiving or any of the things we're touching on today, please do reach out to them. They've got all the info for you, and all they want to do is share it with you. That's it.
Absolutely. You know, it's ultimately your path or your choices that you're making as you go down it. But again, to be able to know what all those options are and what all those choices are, because like you said, it's not cookie cutter, you know, one size doesn't fit all. And so every family's different with the amount of caregiving that they can help with. Every individual person is different with what they want to accept for help. And so it's finding that fit. And caregiving is a journey. I've said that more and more every time I meet with people. It's a journey.
And I don't think you could say it enough.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more. And you said something there that I think is really key to this, too, of asking for help, of the idea of it and the willingness of it. It's not just the generation that we're speaking of. I'm like this. I think that a lot of us have a little bit of this in us, especially here in the Midwest. We don't ask for help usually. We don't ask for assistance. We don't. Our dignity means so much in these things. And I use any chance I get when it comes to hanging out and talking with you guys at the ADRC to touch on this. And keep this in mind, everybody. Most of these benefits, if not all of these benefits, are things that you have paid for your whole lifetime in taxes and those things. You've earned this. Any bit of assistance you get, you have earned. You are one of our trailblazers. You are one of the people that have kept this world going. You deserve these benefits. You deserve these things, and you deserve assistance. Nobody makes it through life alone. And think of it this way. Look at it through the perspective of your loved ones. They would want you to reach out. They would want you to ask for help. And there's nothing wrong with that. Encourage people to do that, especially if you are somebody who has been pushing this off.
Yeah.
And get on this.
Yeah.
Reach out to our friends at the ADRC.
Yeah, the biggest thing, again, I have a conversation a lot with families and with clients, is the whole fact of proactive versus reactive and informed decision making. You can do a lot of it ahead of time, and again, to the best of your ability, have somewhat of a game plan. Mm-hmm. But if you're in the crisis mode, then it all goes out the window, and it's not necessarily what you want. but it's what you need at that point. Mm-hmm. And so it's always good, even if you don't do anything, to at least have the information.
As we're continuing with frequently asked questions, what are the resources for emergency personal response systems like Lifeline?
Yeah, so many people want to stay in their home and be independent in their home, and I get it completely.
Yeah.
But there's always that fear of I live by myself, I'm home alone, the commercial we all have seen, I've fallen, I can't get up. There are emergency response system products out there like Lifeline that can help. It's not going to prevent the fall, but it's going to get you the help that you need if and when that time comes that you do fall, so that you're not having to try and crawl on the floor. I mean, that's the reality. People are crawling on the floor to try and get to a phone, or heaven forbid, they have to stay overnight on the phone on the floor until their loved one comes the next day or somebody comes to check in on them. And that's when it gets really scary.
Yeah.
And so, again, that prevention piece of it, if you can look at emergency response systems to help with that, that get that help that you need to be able to take care of yourself.
And it's so vital, too, that you get these things done beforehand. You get ahead of these things. Think of it as insurance.
Yeah.
In the perfect scenario, you never even need to use your insurance.
Right.
It's just there for you to back you up. This is similar to that. Hopefully, you never need Lifeline or one of these services. But if you do, it's great to have this taken care of. And again, I'm going to keep doing this because I know it works, and it works on me. Mm-hmm. I'm not just doing it to you guys. I'm doing it to myself, too, because I got three kids that are right in my head right now telling me, Dad, I want you to be doing these things when you get up there. Mm-hmm. Do this for your loved ones. Do this for the people that care about you. If you're not going to do it for yourself, please do it for those reasons. Mm-hmm. We encourage you to. This we're in the holiday season. We are in the marathon, the gamut of it. We are in right in the heart of it, Kim. You know, this weekend, you, I, all of our listeners out there are going to be seeing family and friends. And we were talking about this on our morning show. I think that the essence of Christmas is these moments, these with family and friends. It's what it's all about. The presents, the pomp and circumstance, it's all really fun and great. But you could strip it all away, and as long as you give us our friends and our family, we're good. We're okay. They are also the first ones to drive us crazy. They are all, we love them for it. We love
absolutely.
It, but they will.
Yeah.
And I thought it'd be fun. And this was brought to us from Kim here about some tips for the holidays. And that was a really good idea. I like this. Let's dive into this, Kim.
Sure. So my thought behind it was just to know that a lot of families are spread out throughout mm-hmm. the holidays, and they come home, and then it's like a whirlwind.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's so many different things going on between the holiday parties, the get-togethers, the extended families coming in. But again, as we have people that are needing our help and support, how can we maximize that time to be able to be productive with it? And if you are seeing concerns, then follow up with that with your loved ones to be able to, again, start having some of those conversations.
Yeah, it's a really good idea. And it's so, especially, it seems more and more, we just don't get together with our families as much as we used to. Mm-hmm. And we all understand, I think, that we talk differently in person than we do in email or on the phone or something like that. Sometimes, and this is very similar to what we were just doing, talking about the EDRC and caregiving and some of these things. Oftentimes, a person might not have the feel as comfortable to share things over the phone. Sometimes they do it better in person. This is a little similar to that, where a lot of the things that you might not feel comfortable bringing up on the phone or in an email or something like that because of the things that can get lost in interpretation. You ask my staff here at the team, and I'm one of these people that I use way too many emojis because I'm so worried about things getting lost in translation or something
sure.
like that. I think a lot of us are like that, so we prefer to ask these things in person. And I think that's a really good note right away to kick on. What are some other things, tips for the holidays here, Kim?
Well, and the other thing to mention along with that, James, too, is just the fact that people don't want to talk about changes.
Yeah,
and they want to stay as independent as possible at home, but they might be noticing changes. Mm-hmm. It's surprising when you initiate that conversation how much they said, this has been going on for a while.
Yeah,
and I didn't notice it. Or I did notice it, but I didn't want to say anything, I should say. And as a family member, again, the phone calls aren't the same. And so it's important when you're there maybe to take an extra day or two just before or after the chaos of the holidays and sit down and have some conversations with your loved one about how are things truly going, you know, and do that observation.
I hadn't thought much about this beforehand, but recently, my papa, my grandfather, passed away a couple weeks ago. And his wife, my Nana, passed away about 10 years ago. My Nana died from Alzheimer's, from dementia. And it was around Christmas or maybe even Christmas Eve that she called me Jim. She's never, now my name's James, and that isn't that far-fetched, but she calls my grandpa and my dad Jim. And we just kept moving and everything, and it was just a little slight thing, but it started there, and it was thankfully noticed by my dad, my mom, my papa even, and we were able to kind of, you can't get necessarily ahead of these things. I don't think I'm going to word this right. I apologize, but we were able to at least have kind of an understanding as we were going into it, and for her grandchildren, for myself, my brother, sister, many of us that didn't know much about Alzheimer's or dementia, it was really important to get those early steps and to get even a bit of a head start, if you will. Again, not the right word choices, but just for lack of better words, to kind of even have that buffer, if you will. It goes so far. It goes so much farther than we can realize. If we're having this discussion and I didn't have that experience, I would certainly be hearing you, but I don't think it'd be hitting home like it is. It really is important to have these things. Pay attention. And there's no downside to this. You're paying attention to your loved ones. You know, you're going to do this probably anyway. You're just maybe, you know, you tightening that microscope a little bit.
Well, there's different cycles with that. I mean, you could go in blinders and say, okay, it wasn't a big deal, denial, that sort of thing, which people are can and turn a blind eye then. But on the other hand, those subtleties are what are going to trigger that extended conversation, or let's talk a little bit more about it, or at least maybe I should come home a little bit more often to just take a check on things, because the holidays can be very stressful. People can be out of whack. We all are out of whack during that time. But just to kind of, again, that first trigger, whatever it may be, to start that down that path so that you can explore those options, get the help that you need, support that you can get from the community, from your loved ones, to really wrap your hands or your arms around that person that needs that support.
Well said. I am a notorious planner, so I love your notes about having a plan. Yeah. I think that's a great idea. I also hope that people can take that with a grain of salt too, because as my Nana would say, you want to make God laugh, make plans. You know, we all understand, especially during the holidays.
Yes.
But that's also why it's great to have a plan. Maybe not at 9:05 we're going to do this, at 9:10 we're doing this. Like that, you could drive yourself crazy there. Having a loose plan, having an outline, is just going to give you a little structure, and our brains need that. They feel good from that. With all the chaos and pomp and circumstance and all the things going on, having a bit of a plan really going to help you with that. It also seems, Kim, to me, to be a good idea when it comes to these observations and some of this, too. And say a loved one doesn't remember the plan or different layers to that.
Yeah, and it's a divide and conquer sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Again, being that you may not be here for a long period of time, or you may have other things going on, deciding what's most important. You know, obviously for us, it's always health and safety first.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, then, it's looking at, okay, what can we start to implement or do? I'm here. Are there people I can talk to? Are there resource directories like we have that I can grab, take back home, and again, start having those conversations? I always say to families when you're coming in, one or two things at a time. People are scared. Changes are occurring. It's a very difficult time. So just make sure, you know, again, have a plan, like you said, loose plan, but accomplish at least something so you don't get stuck.
Yeah, yeah. Great notes. That's really key to this. That's a very good note about that, Kim. And the other things you mentioned there about take a breath, you know, be patient with your loved ones, that's something that we could always use reminders of.
Absolutely.
I pride myself on my patience. I think it's always been really good. The last couple of weeks, gone. Haven't had it. Just hasn't been there. No matter how hard I've tried or needed it or anything, it just hasn't been there. And I've been really beating myself up about that, because that's kind of what we do, especially, you know, again, us Midwesterners and that and stuff. We, oh, dang it, I'm not being as patient as I should be with so-and-so that I love and I care about. And then we end up end up just going down a rabbit hole of beating ourselves up and everything. So the idea of this patience and taking a breath, it's not just for your loved ones. While that is very important and key to this, it also gives yourself some grace, because that's key to this too, giving yourself a little bit of grace and some understanding. Take that breath, for them and then take another breath for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just know that if you go in bull in a china shop, it's not going to be effective. And everybody's going to get upset. It's going to cause hard feelings. It's just, it does not work.
Yeah.
In my experience, it just doesn't work.
Same.
So again, taking that deep breath, organizing your thoughts, figuring out what's going to work out best in your situation, reaching out for help. Those are the best suggestions I can give to people.
As we're kind of wrapping up our holiday, Christmas holiday conversation about this part of things, Kim, is there anything you want to retouch on or anything you want to note that we hadn't really covered that well, you think? Or we get this down?
I think we got it.
Okay.
I think the biggest thing is just take those breaths.
Yeah.
You know, come in and talk with your loved one and just be there.
Yeah. Very well said. Thank you, Kim. Yeah. As we're getting ready for Christmas and that, of course, we do have New Year's right around the corner. We know what New Year's means, resolutions and that. And we're actually going to help our audience, Kim. We're going to help you guys with your resolutions.
That's right. We're going to take a different angle on it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to tell you to lose weight.
Yeah.
We're not going to tell you to go to the doctor. We're not going to tell you to do all those traditional things, save money, all those things that are out there. What I want to do is just share how to get involved in the community and take a different angle of it with respect to, do you got an extra half hour?
Mm-hmm.
Do you got an extra 20 minutes? As a business or an organization, are you willing to help out with others? And with our home delivered meal program, we are always looking for volunteers. So what we are talking about and promoting is delivering with a smile, making a difference for others in our community that need that help. Delivering. And going out, meeting with a handful of people every day, bringing them a nutritious meal. You don't have to do it every, once a month is all the time that you need. Just a couple hours, 10:30 to 12, and that's one way that you can help.
Yeah, so. It's I've talked about Meals on Wheels a number of times, my experience with it, and how much I encourage others to do it. I don't like putting our guests on the spot, but I am kind of going to do this to you a little bit, Kim, because I've talked about this for a long time, and I've mentioned to the audience and encouraged them to do this. I want the audience to know that I'm going to be reaching out to you guys and finding out when I can help and when I can deliver a meal.
Thank you.
I work two different jobs other than this one. I also caregive for my parents. I don't have a social life. I have no free time whatsoever. I'm going to find a way to make this work. I've asked the audience to do it for years. It's time I also to pitch in and do some work here and put back into our community. So I'm going to find a meal that I can deliver and hopefully at least more, maybe if I can do more than one. Yeah. But that is one of my resolutions for this year. That is one of my things going into 2024 that I want to do. And I'm looking and encouraging others to do so. If we could get more and more people doing this, it only strengthens our community. You are going to enjoy these conversations. You're going to enjoy meeting these individuals. You're also going to feel incredibly good knowing that you are somebody that not only is providing these services, but providing a check-in for these individuals. Mm-hmm. It's so amazing what volunteering can do. The people that you meet. I know it's a different organization, but working with United Way and doing the Day of Caring, I met an individual who just I'd never seen before, never met, but happened to be from my neck of the woods, my family's neck of the woods in Chicago, and we ended up having a great conversation. And to this day, I take any opportunity to drive by and say hi to him. And one of our longtime listeners, Gary, happened to be living right next door to this individual. And so I got
small
to meet.
Small world.
It is. Yep, it really is. And it speaks to the strength of our community, the tightness of our community as well. So when you're a part of Meals on Wheels, you're going to have these experiences. You're going to be able to meet these individuals. And again, it's not a big time restraint. It's not something that is going to take that much out of your day. It only adds to your day. I think that we think of this sometimes, and just speaking for myself, is, well, that's an hour, that's a half an hour I have to take out of my day or have to plan for. No, this is adding to your day.
Yeah.
That's what this is doing.
Yeah, the other nice part that we've tried to promote too with employers, if employers are wanting to give back to the community, looking for wellness within their employees, to adopt a route. To be able as an office say, okay, we can commit to one day a month couple days a week, whatever it is, that our staff will come and help. And we've had some local businesses that have done that. And it's been rewarding both for them as well as us to be able to get our needs met. So, you know, that's another thought for companies out there if they're willing to give back another way versus the dollars.
Absolutely. You know, time. It's a fantastic idea. And while, all the things that Kim said and I was saying about, you know, putting into your community and all that is very important about this, can't lose sight of the PR end of that. There is no bad PR on that one. That is an amazing, you can't put a price tag on the kind of PR you get from something like that. That's a great idea, Kim.
Yeah.
Keep in mind that the ADRC also has services like equipment lending and classes for healthy living and support for caregivers. There's so much available for you at our Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin. Kim, if people want to reach out once you guys are hours are back open and you're up and running again, how can they get in touch with you?
So our phone number is 888-486-9545. Otherwise, if locally you want to stop in, our offices are in the Senior Center by the Veterans Service Office, the YMCA, and the old Walmart building, as you know, if you're familiar with the community. So.
And thank you again. Please say hi to the whole staff and wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll talk again real soon.
Sounds good.
Kim Enda, Resource Specialist with our ADRC-CW. You can find out more at adrc-cw.org, adrc-cw.org. Well, a more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Thanks for calling Discover. This is Anjali.
Hi, it's Jennifer Coolidge. I just got an alert for a strange charge on my card.
No problem. We make sure you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases on your Discover card. Let's see. Did you purchase something from a t-shirt cannon store yesterday?
Absolutely not. No, I already have like three.
$0 fraud liability guarantee. It pays to Discover. Learn more at discover.com/credit card. Limitations apply.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The CDC says a coronavirus subvariant is now the fastest growing strain. Here's Brittany Merlot.
JN1 is now causing about 20% of new COVID-19 infections across the country. It's dominating in the Northeast, where it's estimated to have caused around a third of new infections there. The spread of the subvariant has more than doubled between late November and mid-December, perhaps getting a boost from holiday travel. The public health agency is now calling on doctors to work harder to get their patients vaccinated.
The most wonderful time of the year can be the busiest time for area walk-in clinics. Aspirus Health offers tips on when you should seek care. It's best to contact your primary care office first. Walk-in or urgent care is appropriate if your cough is worsening, if you have a high fever that won't come down with medication, or a minor injury. Head to the emergency room if you have a serious or life-threatening condition. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead.
Oofta, a damp and dreary day. Battling chances of drizzle on and off today. And also areas of fog. Otherwise, it's overcast with high temperatures climbing to the low 40s. And we won't be out of this misty cloud until Saturday afternoon. Right now, 42.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same, but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online? Just go to hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and trusted generic alternatives to the name brands. Add up to 95% off. That's right. Get generic for Viagra, the same active ingredient as brand name Viagra, but for 95% less. It's the same medication, still prescribed by a licensed medical provider, but with zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy for your free online visit, hims.com/joy.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this December 22nd, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. We're welcoming to our WFHR stage our good friend, Craig Bourne, Superintendent, Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools. Craig, good to see you.
Good to see you.
And we brought some friends with you. We have Ron Rasmussen, Principal of Lincoln High School. Ron, good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
And we have Steve Thayer with us, Associate Principal at Lincoln High School. Good to see you, Stephen.
Thank you, James. It's good to be here.
Appreciate the time. I have to start off thanking you all for dressing the season. Thank you very much. Even Craig's got some red on. You're getting this Christmas spirit. You got that going. Thank you very much, you guys, for doing that, for having some fun, for being in studio today. I do need to let the audience know, journalistically, I am very biased on this subject. I graduated from Lincoln. I love my Red Raiders. So I'm not going to have any integrity with this interview. I'm joking. But we'll have some fun. I do want to catch up with Lincoln and find out how things are going over there. Let's start right there, you guys, with not just Lincoln, but principaling in general. Talking to our listeners and them really enjoying these segments. And I do have to give you a big shout out, Craig. I've heard from many listeners. They've enjoyed this segment, in part the guests that you've brought on, local principals. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I know how you guys know this way better than I do. Parents and teachers need to share more and be on the same page, not for themselves as much as for the kids. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of our listeners have really, really felt like they understand much, much more about our public schools. One of the things that I thought was really interesting was an individual I talked to who hasn't had kids in public schools around here for almost 20 years. They've really been enjoying this. They have really. So I didn't think much about that angle of things, but That's been a really fun part of this. Thank you for doing that.
Absolutely.
Let's start with that right there. What is principaling to you? How do you principal? Ron, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I think being a principal at a high school level is really interacting with your community and your students itself. Obviously, the schools are just a symbol of what our community as a whole. Mm-hmm. And we're preparing students right now for jobs that don't even exist yet. So it's that aspect of providing opportunities for families, having relationship building with families and students, to look at where do you want to envision yourself in 15, 20 years. Now, I always tell our seniors when I have my last meeting with them at the graduation practices, I want you to go out and explore the world, all right? But I always want you to come back to Wisconsin Rapids, because right now they all think they're going to leave and they're never going to come back home because they see media, social media, everything, what's out there. And I said, go explore everything that's out there, but you're going to want to come back at some point to Central Wisconsin.
Yeah.
It's a great place to live. Great environment, and so part of that process of being a principal is to open those doors for students, provide those opportunities for kids, but then also, highlight all the great things that occur around them daily. And they're teenagers. Often teenagers are self-centered on themselves. Yep. They're very focused on themselves, but trying to keep them open to what those experiences are and the importance of family, friends, and community.
That's great, Ron. Thank you for that. Thank you. Steve.
Yeah, so for me, my lens is a little different. As an associate principal, I deal a lot more with student discipline. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, me and my two other associate principal colleagues, we really try and focus on the humanity of the incidents. We see some of our students at their worst, right? Mm-hmm. We were all young. We all made mistakes. We all did things that we are not proud of. And so reminding our students that these decisions, they don't have to define them moving forward, that it can be something that creates who they are, not predicts who they are. And so we try to really bring in the humanity of it and let our students know that tomorrow's going to be a new day. We're going to learn from this and we're going to be better moving forward. And so just providing that connection, kind of like Ron had said, one of the things we do specifically at Lincoln to try to do that is we travel with our kids to graduation. So when I took over the freshmen when they came into Lincoln, I will travel with them as one of their people all the way through to graduation, supporting them through their struggles, supporting them through their classes, and helping them grow into the kind of person that they want to be and that we want them to be to positively impact our community.
I think a key thing that you said there that seems very different approach to the way things might have been at one point is the idea that it doesn't predict anything. I think that's a really key part of this. I say that in part with a little bias because, boy, you guys would have known my name. man, Steve, you would have known me. You would have known me. I was a knucklehead. But I was also very fortunate to not only be in this town and be that person, but I had a great principal in Mr. Mancuso, mm-hmm. who I always thought that he was did a great job. I felt like he knew me by name. Mm-hmm. When all those kids, all those different people, and there was more than just me, it was a knucklehead. But yet he knew me right from day day one, even before I got in trouble, I was able to. And I don't ever remember being called to his office and being talked down to. Mm-hmm. I don't ever remember him treating me like I was less than or anything, even though I expected that from somebody in that position. He never treated me that way. I think that your approach is similar to that, so much key to that. And I do think that it's part of the reason not only why our public schools are doing so well in this area, but why we have so many individuals that do come back to this area, is things like that. I was one of those kids that you're talking about there, and I not only not from here originally, but didn't appreciate this area very much. I was one of the kids that couldn't wait to get out and didn't see the individuals and the things that this town offered. It wasn't until I came back that it all dawned on me, that it all came through. And now I'm going to spend every second of my life, and I'm in this area, making sure that I support this area, promote it, and make sure that I kind of give back. I keep that right. I make right by that. There's a lot of individuals out there that you can avoid having to do that. You can just do right now. And you guys are helping with that. It's a key part of this process. But you can't do it alone. You got to have great staff, got to have great teachers, have support system from the superintendent. A lot of these things, and certainly from parents, and you need good activities, you need fun things that keep people keep the kids interested, keep the school year going and rolling along. Let's go into some of the activities coming up in Lincoln now. What are some of those that you can tell us about?
Yeah, so obviously you talked about how we're dressed kind of festive today, so yeah. it's been a very positive thing of seeing all the ugly sweaters or Christmas decor happening across the building. But obviously we're in full swing of our winter activities right now. Over the holiday here, our basketball teams are participating at the Century Classic over at the Quant Fieldhouse. Mm-hmm. Our hockey team is participating down in Wisconsin Dells. Wrestlers are out there as well. Tonight, for example, we have the welcome back to the 1974 first state championship wrestling team on the 50th That's anniversary awesome. Of that. So that's tonight after the 7:45 p.m. But just those involvements. Last Sunday, we had our community holiday concert mm-hmm. with our combined orchestra, choir, and band. So those activities are really important to keep kids not only engaged in school, but it can, for some of them, it will become a career passion for them as well. So we offer over 55 activities, 23 sports at Lincoln. So there's always something for a student, if they want to provide that, to learn and go do. Obviously, if it would start snowing at some point, we have a ski group
now.
That goes up to Granite Peak. So,
any day now, Mother Nature.
Yeah,
any day.
It'll start snowing, and they'll have those opportunities as well. So pretty much every night of the week, the building's open till 10 o'clock at night because there's something going on. But that involvement of students, we know students who are involved in activities perform better academically, attend school more frequently, and trying to gather that involvement in there is very important.
Yeah, and certainly not only as they're getting closer to possibly going in, continuing their education, and whether our tech schools or college, that helps the resume, certainly doesn't hurt there. And there are so many different things that, like you said, can be sparked from those activities.
Yeah, so obviously when COVID hit, we were really concerned and we started live streaming events. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden we created this live stream club. And now we have a full green room at Lincoln. And now that's morphed into a whole core curriculum and a course for students. So just that, what obviously was unexpected for us moving forward, has led to a group of about 30 kids and now a class of approximately 25 students to learn that basis. And they're working on technology that they can run the video board at Lincoln, and that's the same equipment that they can go to Lambeau Field or Pfizer Forum, and they run the exact same equipment that professionals do in those professional venues. So that's what's really awesome about partnerships that you develop and be able to explore what's out there for students.
It would be really easy for me to be jealous of these kids. Really easy. I mean, whether it's the PAC, the Performing Arts Center, that just arrived like a year or two after I graduated and I would have killed to play on that stage, or some of these things that you're mentioning there, Ron, they're so great assets. But it's not, I don't feel any jealousy because I am excited about the future. I'm excited about what these kids are going to learn and what they're going to grow and add to these industries. I'm going to keep coming back to that spark, and you just don't know what can happen there. I had a teacher at Lincoln, Mrs. I, who took an interest in me in video productions. And she let me borrow the camera on the weekends and different things. And I got to do all this different stuff that is applying right now to the job I'm doing. I didn't plan on being in radio. I didn't think I'd ever be in radio. And here I am. And it's so much because of the speech classes and the different things I took at Lincoln that prepared me to be in this spot to do this job. I think okay. I mean, I can get a little better. I can get a little better, certainly. But it really, there's no way I'm in this chair without going to that particular school and having those particular teachers and everything. It all comes together, all adds up.
And you're exactly right. You know, it's not just about the activities and the doing stuff. It's about the development. It's about helping young people find out where their passions are. And it's about that development, whether it's development in a particular skill or just development as a leader. You know, we're doing that too. We're sending some of our captains of our athletic programs to different athletic leadership conferences. I have the privilege of every year working with anywhere from 65 to 80 juniors and seniors as a part of our link crew is what we call it, where they do an orientation for all of our freshmen every year, and they come in and they welcome them to Lincoln and teaching them that servant leadership and you know, investing in other people. It's like you said, it's providing that spark. It's letting kids identify those things.
Oh, shout out to them. That's a great group. That's a great idea. Yeah. That is very, very cool. There's a lot of groups like that at Lincoln. There's a lot of different things like that available at Lincoln. And I want to get into some of the other different projects, different things that are coming around. One of them, I have to be honest with the audience, I just heard about in our pregame as we were beginning to talk, the direct to MIT. Get into that if we can a little bit.
Yeah, so obviously we have great educational partners, obviously in Talon Mid State Technical College. So beginning with the class of 2024, the class that will graduate in June, they will all be directly admitted to Mid-State Technical College. No need to fill out an application. They'll just go straight to Mid-State if they pursue to do that. And right now, we believe we have about 50 to 60 in the last numbers I've seen talking back and forth with Mid-State pursuing that as their educational endeavor. So that's a great partnership. Our students at Lincoln can earn a lot of college credit through Mid-State Technical College. We're actually just adding two more got okayed yesterday, so next year students who are in an AP U.S. History course, if they take that course all year, they'll end up with 6 credits that go to Mid-State, and they'll be able to either continue that education at Mid-State, or that transcript will transfer out to other colleges and universities. Beginning in the class of 2025, we're working with the UW system that all our graduates from Lincoln will be directly admitted to approximately 3/4 of the UW system schools automatically. No process of having to worry about the essay, the application, as long as they graduate from Lincoln.
No fees.
Mm-hmm. They take that diploma and say, yep, that's good for their direct admit to our university. So those partnerships are phenomenal with UW system as well as with Mid-State Technical College. For example, my daughter is a freshman at a different university right now. She ended up with 26 credits from Lincoln that transferred into her university.
Nice.
So it's almost a whole full year of college that's going to save you on the far end. So working with UW-Stevens Point, working with Mid-State Technical College, providing those college opportunities for students. And it's not just if you're pursuing a 4-year degree. A lot of our students do 2-year associate degrees at Mid-State. Those credits will transfer right to Mid-State and speed up that option for that 2-year degree at Mid-State Technical College. So those are options that never existed when I was in school, even 10, 15 years ago didn't exist. So those possibilities to save money for families and speed up and to move to employment and workforce is important for students.
This is where I would ask a follow-up question, but I'm a little speechless because it's such an amazing program. It's such a really unique and cool thing to hear about. I don't know. I don't want to assume, but I imagine a lot of our listeners and you guys might have heard of what UW did recently with Native Americans and allowing them direct access to the school and being able to be enrolled in that. I thought that was the most incredible story I was going to hear all week. This is right there with it. That is so incredible. It as you touched on there, Ron, financially can be very beneficial with the crossover of credits and that. And we've heard a lot of and read plenty of stories about financial debt and how that can hold back some people from wanting to continue their education. So I feel like we cover that a little bit with something like this. But the investment in our future, this is. I don't know how we put in the words. Like, it's just so remarkable. I know in my graduating class, shout out to class of 96, there were individuals, friends of mine, that talked about, I'm going to take a couple years off to save money or to do this because I, and being honest, they're friends of mine, and most of them did not go and do that. They didn't go into college and everything. You take some of that out of the scenario as well. Such an important program. That is really cool. Thank you for bringing that to us.
Yeah, we figured last year that we had about $1.1 million worth of credits taken at Lincoln, taught by our teaching staff, but accredited through Mid-State Technical College or through UW-Stevens Point. And that's obviously a significant savings for all the families. Now, they may not all use those credits in their future, but that's a really important savings to them as they move forth.
Ron, just one last question about this. Do you know how this came about, where this idea came from?
Some of the background is, just directions, from the state, looking at how you can partner with your local educational partners. And it takes a lot of training on our staff at Lincoln as well. They have to have a master's degree minimum in the curricular area. So they have to have a master's degree in English or a master's degree in math or in business. So it's a lot of work on the teacher's aspect as well to make sure they earn that master's degree in that area, because then they can get certified as an instructor, as an adjunct instructor at the institution that we're partnering with.
And a shout out to those teachers taking that initiative and being able to do something like that and be able to do back that up. That's fantastic. Craig, this has got to be quite a game changer too for our kids when we're talking to them in grade school and we're talking about them, the future of their education. We can offer this now. We can hit them up on this very young.
Yeah. So that's one of the key differences. And I think, in speaking with what you referenced regarding your listeners and some of the things they're appreciative of hearing, having been out of education or not having kids and having graduated multiple years ago, there's clearly a ton of things that are the same, right? I mean, the overarching goal and kind of how a classroom looks and the idea that you have homework and, these sorts of things, this is not atypical, right? Yeah. We've all had that kind of experience. But one of the pieces that I think that Lincoln brings to the table based on its size, so there's some downfalls, right? You hear, I don't want to be in a high school that size. But clearly, the biggest upshot to that is these things that you've heard described here today. And I can speak from an incredibly informed viewpoint because I had three kids. Mm. One of them graduated from Lincoln a couple of years ago, and my twins are going to graduate this year. Mm. They take after their mother, so they'll get their diplomas and so forth. But my point is that I don't even know how I can relay to your average listener what our kids do and what they're involved in at Lincoln. It's shocking. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. And I didn't, I wasn't the best student myself either. I mean, I straightened up a bit in later high school, but academically speaking was fine, but behavior-wise was an idiot. Many of us. Mm-hmm. And we have some of that circumstance, but when we focus on that, we're talking about maybe 2% of the building population, right? But the things you hear about what these kids have access to and what our students are involved in, it's unreal. Most of the adults I know aren't involved in the amount and number and impactful things that Lincoln High School students are. And one of the other things, Ron and I are both in Noon Rotary, part of the Noon Rotary Club, and there's student Rotarians that join from Lincoln, three from Lincoln and one from Assumption typically. And that's an avenue where, members of the Rotary can hear what our students are doing. And of course, I know what my own kids are doing and some of their friends and so forth. And I'm clearly aware of all the programs and opportunities that Lincoln High School offers. But when you hear individual students describe, so they'll say, okay, so you just introduce yourself, tell us who your parents are, and tell us what you're involved in at Lincoln High School. And I'm not kidding you, there's some of these students that'll talk for 5 minutes about all of the things they're doing. Wow. So they're in two sports, they're in three clubs, they're in band or choir and orchestra or both, in theater. It's unbelievable. And those students, when they graduate Lincoln High School, regardless of what they do, clearly have written their ticket.
Yeah,
they know all of the tips and techniques of what it takes to be a successful human being. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, that's the focus of all of the staff, including Ron and Steve at Lincoln High School. We are concerned about academics. We want our kids to be challenged. But I've never had a conversation with Ron or Steve or anybody else on the administrative team about, man, if that kid's test scores don't go up, we're really going to have a problem.
Yeah.
It's about how do we create decent human beings. That's the primary focus. And guess what? When you're in the process of doing that and that's your focus, test scores tend to go up or kids do well. But I can't underscore enough the amount and depth of opportunities that kids get at Lincoln High School. It's incredible.
And there's, you know, certainly we got great high schools all across the country and everything. When we're talking about Lincoln, that there are some things that stand out with Lincoln about it, not only because of the team, the staff, and that you have there, but the accessibility to do certain things, I think, is also really benefited over there. And the option of, and not only for Lincoln students, but for all around. We know that a lot of our high schools use some of the facilities over there with the new baseball field and some of that. How much has that changed things for you, Ron, with some of those new additions at Lincoln?
It's made me busier, I imagine. So my goal has always been that a kid that attends Lincoln or has the same opportunity as any student that would be attending, let's say, a suburban Milwaukee Madison mm-hmm. school, and just to provide those opportunities, be it on the athletic field, on the stage, or in the classroom. Mm-hmm. And that's really been my focus since I moved here 13 years ago, was what are those opportunities that we can do? And with obviously the support of our community, with some of the additions to Lincoln physically and then programmatically, we're able to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's the important thing, is just because you grow up in central Wisconsin, it's not the Madison market. You're going to compete against students from all those areas moving forth in your life, and to provide that basis, that sound educational footings for kids moving forward is really important. The other cool thing that occurs now, you know, we get other schools that visit us and say, hey, what are you doing well? I mean, our science labs, as part of the most recent referendum project, are top of the line. They're better than the university lab my daughter participates in right now in her science courses. That those were able to program kids for the future in those areas. And our science teachers, and now they each have their own classroom. They can get all their stuff ready for students during the day. They're not on top of each other when they're providing lab experiences for students. And that support and from our community, and the students see that. They can see, all right, yeah, my community really wants me to move forth and to learn. And that's what's been appreciative of all the projects at Lincoln in the last few years.
So much of these classes and the different things that you've touched on, the activities and that too, I feel an underlying theme of empathy too, of creating more of that, of giving more opportunity for that. And that's one of those things we're always looking for too with our youth and as we go forward here. And we're wrapping up, but before we do, you mentioned dual credits, Ron, a little bit. I wanted to take some time with that. Did you cover that as well as you'd like?
I think that's important. So I just was sitting in a junior meeting. So one of the nice things as well, we have 5 school counselors at Lincoln, is every year you can meet with your school counselor with your parents and kind of plan what your years are going forth in the future. So this morning I sat in with a student and his parents regarding their future, and looking at it and going, wow, I can have 18 college credits moving forth, and I'm thinking of this as my 4-year. And they were like, oh, my freshman year wasn't really great. And we're like, yeah, that's okay, mm-hmm. but that's expected. You're 14 years old.
Yeah.
Look at how you've done. And so when you mm-hmm. begin to write your scholarship essays or whatever, you talk about, I came in as a freshman. I didn't know what I wanted to do, and look mm-hmm. how much I've grown moving forth. And that empathy, that one-on-one, that relationship building, we all fully realize, as Steve stated here, that students are going to make poor decisions. We all make poor decisions, but it's how you grow from that decision-making process. So it's important to do. The dual credit is an important aspect of that, but as Craig said as well, it's just important. The importance of being just a good human being is really what we want you to do when you graduate.
Well said. We have to, I've followed more questions, but we have to wrap up. We're going to have you guys back. If people have follow-up questions, they want to know more about some of the things we've talked about today, Craig, how can they reach you?
So district website, wrps.org, 715-424-6701.
Thank you, Craig.
Absolutely.
And Ron, how about for you if people want to reach out to you?
Yep, same thing. Go to wrps.org, and a number at Lincoln is 715-424-6751.
Steve, I'm guessing it's the same for you, but it'd be kind of funny if it was different. Is it different?
Well, I can give you a different number to a different
Change
secretary.
It up a little bit.
You know, 715-424-6750 if you want to go that route. But nice. You can also find my contact information on the website as well.
Thank you both for being here. Really good to meet you guys. Looking forward to having you back. Craig, it is always good to see you. Thank you. you so much for the time, as always. Appreciate you.
Thanks, James.
Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to all of you guys and you and yours, and we'll see you again next year. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to the best listeners in radio. We appreciate all of you for joining us this week. We will have more Midday Magazine for you next week. I do want to send a special shout-out to Pam Hilke, the heart of this station. Great work, Pam. We appreciate you. Have a great weekend. Be good to each other, and we'll talk to you soon and later right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hi, I'm Kirsten from Pentatonix. We've all learned how to cope with more time alone. With more time spent isolated or at home, the need for companionship has grown. If you've considered adding a pet to your family, please check with your local shelters and foster organizations. Stray pet numbers have grown immensely over the past several years, and the trauma caused to these animals is devastating. Adopt pets, they need us more than we know. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.